Hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson at Williamson NFL, WilliamsonFootball.com, Steeler Nation Radio, all over the place. Been doing this a long time. I was at ESPN for 10 years. I was a scout for the Browns. I was director of football operations, University of Akron. I was a recruiting assistant at Pitt. I've written for many, many websites since my ESPN stint. But now it's just at WilliamsonFootball.com. A little bit of small news. Shady McCoy, well, not potentially small news. Looks like he is in trouble. Not much more out except for a potential domestic violence situation. I mean, a offense lacking talent would be in for a very long year without McCoy. And you wonder if this is bad. I mean, if it's bad, is his career over? I would think so. Hoping for him. Who knows? We'll see. I was never at Pitt with McCoy, but I watched him in high school and when the recruiting process was starting with him, I was on my way to Akron. The other little bit of news is tomorrow is the supplemental draft. And I've done very little homework on the prospects, but it looks like there's two corners and maybe a safety that might actually get picked in the round 3, 4, 5 area. And we'll see how that goes. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But really, the supplemental draft has been kind of a wasteland, really, for like 5 years now. I mean, Josh Gordon's like the last guy of prominence who was picked in the supplemental draft. I mean, Gordon's come and gone and been suspended many times since then. But today, much like yesterday, we're talking NFC North over-under win totals. And again, you've gotten a lot of good feedback on these. This is the 6th out of 8. The East is done. The South is done. I did AFC North yesterday. Today is NFC North. And the NFC North, of course, they have their 6 division games, as all teams do. I say it every podcast we do this, though, just in case it's the first time you've tuned in. They have 4 against the AFC East, which, besides the Patriots, is about as nice as you can get. And they have 4 against the NFC West. You know, Arizona doesn't look great. I think Seattle's really down. So that's not too bad. I mean, as NFC schedules go, they're not crushed. You know, this division could have it worse. I mean, the NFC schedules around the league are awful. We start with Green Bay. Their over-under win total is 10. Their schedule, per Warren Sharp, is the 8th easiest in the league, which is really a gift. I mean, when you think about a team like Green Bay, a perennial in a good division, in the NFC, usually the first, the number 1 or 2 seed in their division, and have the 8th easiest schedule in the league is pretty generous for them and pretty fortuitous. Their 2 variable games are Washington, who I like, and Atlanta, who's tough. I mean, there's no doubt last year about that. The big thing, obviously, and we don't have to talk a whole lot about, is Aaron Rodgers comes back. I mean, that's night and day difference from what we saw from this team last year. Aaron Jones suspended, but they got a lot of backs. It's a pretty good line, although the guard situation worries me a little. I don't think Jimmy Graham's the Jimmy Graham of old, but I do think he'll catch a lot of touchdowns. Devontae Adams is the number 1. I think Cobb's in for somewhat of a rebound year. But as I always say, Rodgers is the great deodorant. I mean, he makes all problems and smells go away. He rises all ships. So that in itself is the number 1 thing, obviously, going for them. But there's more. You know, that their pass defense, Packers' pass defense, was horrible last year. Horrible. And now I have a new defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine. And Mike Pettine is one of these guys that wants to blitz a lot. You know, think Todd Bowles, think Cardinals, think Jets, where leaves his corners on islands a lot. Aggressive play caller. A lot of defensive backs on the field. A lot of blitz. And therefore, you better have corners. And they landed 2 good ones, it looks like, in the draft. I mean, rookie corners, what are you going to get? But they drafted 1 in the early second round last year. There's been a lot of youth at that corner position. But maybe the key is bringing back Tremont Williams. I mean, he had a good year opposite Patrick Peterson in Arizona. So I got to think they're better at cornerback, at least. Maybe it's a year or two away till they're really good there, but they're better at cornerback. And, yeah, they lost Burnett, but the safety situation looks in pretty good hands. The linebackers are okay. I like Martinez. But what I like a lot is the interior. They're big men now. And adding Muhammad Wilkerson could pay off huge. It may be a total wash, too. I mean, he's a hard guy to predict. But Mike Daniels is awesome. Kenny Clark is really coming along well and developing also as a pass rusher. And Wilkerson. So that three-man rotation, I think more or less for two spots, particularly in nickel and dime defenses, you're going to have fresh, talented bodies on the interior, and Matthews and Perry on the outside aren't so bad. So I'm thinking just from a pass defense standpoint, they should be much better. I mean, again, and with Rodgers, you don't have to be the best pass defense in the league. Again, I mentioned they have the most forgiving schedule of any of the teams in this division. It only, you know, the eighth easiest. In their final eight games, they have two pretty tough games. And their first six games aren't all that bad. So the Packers could, I'm kind of expecting them to start hot, end hot. And maybe they have a, you know, a down stretch there in between. And I'm going to pull up their schedule real quick here. There is a stretch there. Where the part that I was alluding to is in week eight, they go to the Rams. Then they go to the Patriots. Ouch. But at least you have a bye before that. And before the bye, you got the Bears, the Vikes, at Washington, Bills at home, at Detroit, San Francisco at home. That's not bad, you know. Bye, two awful games. And then it doesn't end all that difficult for you. So, I mean, as a first place type of team goes. So I am going to take the over on Green Bay. All right, so now we discuss the Purple People Eaters in Minnesota. Their over-under total is 10, coming after a really good year. The 12th toughest schedule in the league, including their variable games, Eagles and New Orleans. I mean, that's, I think they're the top two teams in my power ranks. I think Philly's one, New Orleans is two. Doesn't get any worse than that. But this is very much a complete team. You know, what are the weaknesses of the Vikings? I wish the offensive line got a little more attention. But really, it's a very strong group. But I've told you this before, too. I don't think the depth is great here. And they stayed pretty healthy last year. I mean, one of the healthier teams in the league. That's bound to regress. And so their depth, you know, like all teams, will probably be challenged. But you get Dalvin Cook back. Of course, Kirk Cousins is now the quarterback. And I feel like I'm always bashing Cousins, and clearly they like Cousins more than Keenum, and I will gladly admit that he is worth more in terms of contracts and going forward. But do you think Cousins is going to outplay what Keenum did last year? You know, like I say that with Kansas City all the time. Yeah, I love Mahomes, but is he going to have a better year than Alex Smith did in 2017? I tend to doubt it. Keenum did a lot on his own last year. I mean, I think Cousins will probably turn the ball over more. He'll probably do some, make some more throws within structure than Keenum did, but and hopefully they can lean on Dalvin Cook, who I think is a absolute stud. But I don't know that, you know, like we just talked about Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers is back, quarterback situation's in great hands, don't worry about it. I don't feel that way, you know, with the Vikes. And if injuries start to hit, and Moore's asked of them, and yeah, you couldn't ask for two worse variable games than the Eagles and Saints. They were 7-1 at home last year, and they should be still really tough to beat there. But they have road games at the Eagles, at the Rams, at the Packers, at the Patriots. Are they favored in any of those right now? I mean, is that four losses right off the bat? I mean, I'm not saying the Vikes can hang with anyone. They're a Super Bowl contender. I feel like I'm bashing them. But those four games on the road at the Eagles, Rams, Packers, and Patriots is rough, man. It's definitely rough. I think they could win 11. I think 10 is the right line. I think they end up at 10 wins, but I'll take the under. Somewhat reluctantly, because this doesn't look like a 9-win team to me. And I think in Vegas, if you can bet the push, if you can bet them to be 10-6, I would put that in on a long shot type of deal. But there's a lot of things working against them to get to 11 wins. So I'm going to take the under. Because when in doubt, I think you take the under. I mean, we look at this like no one's ever going to get hurt. There's a lot of things that could go wrong for any team. So I think when in doubt, you take the under, and this is one of those situations. The Lions, over under, 8. Strength of schedule rank, 7th most difficult. Ouchie. Their variable games are the Cowboys and the Panthers. Tough road. Patricia's the new head coach, and the two big developments to me are Patricia takes over, and while they didn't change the offense, clearly this offseason was dedicated to creating a running game. They've been basically the worst running team in the league in recent memory, for sure. But the NFL also doesn't work that way. I mean, if you spend an entire offseason building a running game in a passing league, I have mixed feelings about that. I'm not killing them, you know, for going out and, you know, drafting a center and a running back and pound the ball, and I get that. And clearly that'll take some pressure off Stafford, who's been asked to do an awful lot. But they also face a really nasty string of pass defenses. So that running game might be very, very handy. So I'm not discrediting it, but it's a bit of a 1990s approach to team building this year. But they've been so bad on that in that facet, I get it. So I'm not killing them. And you get guys like Decker back. This has a chance to be a really good line. I'm a big Stafford believer. I think Johnson's a nice pickup and will eventually be the feature back. I think you'll see tons of three receiver sets. You know, very little emphasis on the tight end. I think Galladay is absolutely a breakout guy. Maybe Tate starts to show a little bit of age, but this is Stafford's team, and it is wise to take something off his shoulders. But, you know, like I said, very difficult pass defenses. Patricia comes in, and you're going to see a lot more New England-style defense, of course. You know, big, heavy defensive tackles. Probably a lot of nickel. Slay, I would imagine, will probably shadow, you know, the top guys week to week, and less zone, probably more man-to-man than we've seen. By the way, I just turned my... Today is my top... Is the end of my best top 10 list of position players. So today I did corners. Slay is on that list. And I did all of them. I did every position top 10 with honorable mentions. So I urge you to check that out on my website. So there is a lot of talent on offense, but I think there's questions all over the defense, you know. And they finished the season against the Vikes and then in week 17 at Green Bay. I mean, maybe the Packers don't need it and they're resting Rodgers. I mean, that's a possibility. But nobody wants to play at Green Bay at the end of the season. Yuck. You know, and again, that's maybe where the running game will be helpful, of course. They do have the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins. You know, that's something to hang your hat on. But this is a tough schedule. And this is one of the teams I just want to run down it with you. I mean, how many games, just count with me, do you think that off the top of your head, the Lions are favored? They open with the Jets in Detroit. Yeah, they're favored in that game. At the Niners, probably are a dog. Hosting the Patriots, definitely a dog. At Dallas, probably a dog. Green Bay at home. So those first five, that looks like 2-3 to me. You know, they probably beat the Jets in either San Fran or Dallas. Bye in week 6. Go to Miami. Not the easiest place to play in an unfamiliar territory, but they're probably favored or a pick or something like that in Miami. Then they host the Seahawks, who I'm not that impressed with. I bet I picked the Lions in that game. Go to Minnesota. Go to Chicago, and we'll get to them in a minute. Carolina at home. Chicago at home. Rams at home. Then they finish at Arizona, at Buffalo, which I don't think is going to be all that difficult. Minnesota at home, at Green Bay. So I actually thought that was going to sound a little worse than it did. But I'm still going under. I don't trust this defense. I think this offseason coming up from now will really, really be dedicated to the defense. And Patricia's going to see what he has. And I bet he likes guys like Slay and Jared Davis and a couple others for sure. But I bet that they have a very heavy offseason dedicated to defense next year. And they could score a lot of points and there could be some shootouts. But I think they come in at 7 wins, more likely than 9. All right, the Bears. Their over-under total is 6.5. They're right in the middle in terms of degree of difficulty of schedule at 15th most difficult. Their two variable games are the Giants and Tampa, but it's when Winston returns. 2 years ago, they were killed by injuries, most in the league. Last year, they were hit extremely hard by injuries. I can't think that continues. You know, that I think that they'll be luckier in the injury ways now. And they've really... They're everyone's darling. You know, this is this year's Rams. And I really like the Nagy addition, and I think he'll be a Trubisky whisperer. And I love the additions of Robinson, and I think Anthony Miller's a really good player, prospect. Burton, you know, I think he'll feature Cohen. I love the Roquan Smith pick. So there's a lot going well here, and I highly approve of what they've done. So, and also, the defenses they face this year really don't look too bad, except for playing Minnesota twice. They have a pretty easy stretch. So I do think this offense will be successful this year. I really do. The schedule's very odd, though. And again, I really like how this franchise is going. But let's just look at their schedule week to week here, because it's a very odd one. That it starts pretty easy, with the exception of at Green Bay right off the bat is probably a loss. I mean, what's the spread in that game right now? 8, 9, 10? You know, I would think. Host Seattle, go to Arizona, and then you get Tampa at home on Winston's return date. Then you have a bye. So I think they're 3-1 going into their bye, 2-2 at the worst. That's pretty nice on a 6.5-point bet, or a 6.5-win bet, if you get 3-1 right off the bat. Then you go to Miami, but it's after a bye, you know, so you prepare for the Dolphins and fresh for that road trip. Host the Patriots, which is no fun, but at least it's in your building. Host the Jets, I like that. Go to Buffalo. So if you haven't figured that out, how odd is that? They play four games, with the Packers being a difficult one, a bye, and then four in a row against the AFC East, coming off a bye. At Miami, New England home, Jets at home, at Buffalo. That's weird. But can they win three of those? Yeah. So let's say they do go 3-1, bye, 3-1. You're sitting there at 6-2. You only need one more win after week 9 to hit your bet. Host the Lions. You know, I said some not-so-great things about the Lions. Host the Vikes. That doesn't sound great. Then you go to Detroit. I bet they split with the Lions this year, although they didn't win a game within the division last year. That's got to change. Then you go to the Giants. So, of those games, okay, I'm going to run by these again. This is their first 12 games. At Green Bay, Seattle, at Arizona, Tampa, bye. At Miami, New England at home, Jets at home, at Buffalo, Detroit at home, Minnesota at home, at Detroit, at the Giants. There's a lot of winnable games there. And I think, in late November, we could be talking about, like, wow, the Bears are this year's Rams, and they're winning games left and right, and they're already at, 12 games. They're at 8-4, 9-3, holy cow. Then I think they lose every game in the final month of the year. Rams at home, Packers at home, at San Francisco, at Minnesota. But who knows where those teams are at, how injuries affect them and where a team like the Niners is at in Week 16. They might be a totally different team than we're profiling them to be. And the Vikings in Week 17 might not even need that game. So I thought that I would be one of these guys that before I saw the line and analyzed the schedule, that I'd probably be like, the Bears are getting too much hype. But it's pretty favorable. You know, I mean, the way that lines up, that lines up pretty well for getting to 7 wins. I mean, there's a lot of winnable games there. I mean, after their first 8, I think they're going to be 5-3 or so. So I think they win you this bet in like week 13 against the Giants, and then they lose a bunch after that. So give me the over on the Bears. I feel pretty confident about it too. And I also, and talking at the other side of the mouth, I kind of feel like they're a team that's being a little overrated right now. Like, I don't think they're going to go to the playoffs, but it sets up pretty well in that betting world. All right, guys, this was fun. Take care. We will talk tomorrow.